You're listening to the Actors Ponder Show, a podcast about the journey for the life of an actor with actors. Here's your host, Kanan John Dewey.
And if they did care, they'd have a total different response to you saying that. But, oh, my bad. I got you. People should care more. People need to stop worrying about themselves.
And that, my friends, is Zach Zindler.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you so much for streaming this episode of the Actors Ponder Show. I am your host, Kanan John, and today I have
Zach Zindler.
Yes. Actor, model, dancer, from what I'm learning.
Newly appointed.
Mm-hmm, and food blogger.
And blogger, yes. Welcome. Connoisseur.
Yes. You know, I just recently went to your food blogging page, and I'm glad I followed it because I have a hard time finding places to eat out here in LA because I'm always either eating Mexican food or my favorite sushi restaurant or Mel's Diner or something like that.
Oh, but yeah.
Going through your page, I'm like, I'm going to go there. I've read something about Brussels sprouts.
Oh, my gosh. The best Brussels sprouts I've ever had in my whole life.
And what was the restaurant?
Tom's Urban. It was in downtown LA right by the Staples Center.
Okay.
And they're cheesy. Well, no, this is a different place. I apologize. Tom's Urban, so many different places, so many different foods, so many different tastes. So Tom's Urban, since we're on the topic, had the best cheesy grits I've ever had. So cheesy grits at Tom's Urban, best ever. Then I went to this place called Mezlala, and it was a little Mediterranean spot. And I went there, I got the falafel, which was amazing.
I love falafel.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. And their hummus was, everything was just made perfect. And then, but they had these Brussels sprouts and they had grilled it perfectly to the point where the leaves fall off, which is what's supposed to happen, but then they turn into crispy little chips. And they had it in this sweet chili sauce with almonds, and it's like a little spicy. Oh my God, it was one of the best. It was the best Brussels sprouts I've ever had. Hands down.
I'm going to have to go because my feeling about Brussels sprouts is if you get it cooked right, it is delicious.
You can't compare it though.
Yeah.
These were cooked perfect. They weren't cooked right. They were cooked perfect.
I'm going to have to try that. This is Mezlala.
Mezlala. Mezlala.
And what's your food blog? What's the handle for that on Instagram?
Z Cuisines.
Yeah, definitely give that a follow if you're in LA or if you're planning to come to LA and you want some fun, great places to eat, because this guy.
All I do, the only thing I do is I always go to a different place to eat every time. Mm-hmm. And I never go to the same place twice. And they're all local spots. Mm-hmm. And they're all kind of not on the expensive end. They're all in a reasonable budget. So you can go there, get a nice meal. Mm-hmm. And you might only pay like 15, 20 bucks. Maybe a little more if you want to get, you know, some sides. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I want it to be something that everybody could go to. Everybody can enjoy.
Yeah.
Good food, good prices.
Yeah.
And just like, most of the environments are just amazing.
Yeah. There's a lot of emphasis on that out here. I wonder if it's because of Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, the decorators and all the restaurants out here are like experiencing.
It is. It's like a whole personality put in a building.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the craziest thing out here, but I gotta love it. Are you originally from here?
Funny story. I actually just moved here about 8 months ago from Florida, and I drove here, and it took me a month to drive here, and that's where I started my food blog. So. Little segue.
So I'm going to have to go a little deeper into that.
Yeah.
To see where you've been since you were in Florida.
I've been a little escapader, so I just go to little spots, stay there, make my steak to fame, and then leave.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
So you're in Florida. What part of Florida did you come from?
Southwest Florida, Fort Myers area.
Fort Myers.
So you have Miami on the East Coast. The same level south, just on the west side of Florida, is Fort Myers.
It's so interesting because, I was mentioning earlier, Anthony Ryan Grant, he's actually on the opposite side. He's on the east side,
Like Fort Lauderdale kind of area?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Myers. Did he say Fort Myers or something like that? Marin. That's it.
Marin, Florida.
Marin County.
Marin County. Marion County.
Yeah.
That sounds very familiar.
It could be right. I could be butchering it, but it's in episode 2 if you want to hear where he's from. But what is your background? Before we get into acting, like, tell me a little bit more about your background.
I was in the United States Marine Corps. I joined out of South Dakota. So I was living in South Dakota for a year and then joined out of there. I lived in Japan, for Okinawa, Japan, for 2.5 years. Came over here, started going to college.
What did you go to college for?
I went to college for athletic training.
Okay.
So sports science, kinesiology. So I actually have 4 years of college, but I never got my degree because my major, I went to 4 different colleges throughout my life. And the last college I went to, they took 17 people a year for the major out of the whole school. So I applied, didn't get in. I retook courses. I actually took anatomy 1, anatomy 2, and biology all in the same semester. But I learned everything. It was terrible.
I imagine, yeah.
It was terrible. But I learned so much, and I actually made my grades better. And then I reapplied to the major, and then I didn't get in for the second time. So that was my sign that it's time to move on. And then I worked in a physical therapy office, worked as an armed security officer, close protection officer, worked as a handyman for Amazon. Then I worked as a runway model, worked as a catalog model, print model, did a couple commercials in Southwest Florida. And then I decided that I was a big fish in a small pond. I wanted to see if I go into a big pond, if I'll still be a big fish. That was my decision that I had to move to LA.
So that was the catalyst for you taking that month long ride all the way out.
Yeah.
You had it in your mind that you wanted to come to LA.
Exactly.
Now, how did it, so you were, it's funny because I've met a few actors that actually have military backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting. They're like, yeah, I was in the service for however long and now I want to be an actor. And it's like a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting how so many of you guys venture out here to LA to do that. What is it about acting that attracted you to it? Was it the modeling and the commercial?
The thing that attracted me about acting is you get the opportunity to be something different every single time you act. So you can be a completely different character, have a completely different job. If I did a regular 9-to-5 job, I do the same thing every day or it might be a little bit of variation, but for the majority of it, you have the same concept of your job over a long period of time. And acting, the only time you do that job is when you're in that character.
Yeah.
So I'm a very Renaissance man type of guy. So I go around and I just do one thing. I do amazing at it. And then I'm like, all right, what else can I do? And I go to the next thing. Do amazing at it. All right, what else can I do? Do this, do amazing at it. So I figured if I'm going to do something, I want my work to be appreciated as opposed to expected.
Or exploited.
Yeah. You know, like if I do 16 hours of work, I don't want it to be expected for me to always do that 16 hours of work.
Yeah.
If I do 16 hours of work on a set, that's stuff that I'm going to be able to show my grandkids.
Yeah.
Like even if you cut it to where I only have 5 minutes, I still have some substance that I can give to people for a long period of time.
Yeah, that's what's great about it, because it makes you live forever.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Like, yes.
People like Marilyn Monroe and I don't want to say people that are Richard Pryor.
Yes.
That were here for however long they were here.
Yes.
They made this work and now they're gone. But we can still go back to that work.
They're bigger now than when they were alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Marilyn Monroe is one of the number one selling prints that you can buy and calendars that you can buy.
Which is insane if you really, truly think about it.
We have the potential to grow after death.
Yeah. And that's what that's why I'm attracted to it. I feel like just what you were saying, you could spend 16 hours a day. Well, maybe not that at a regular job, but you could spend all day, every day, all year, years, decades. And at the end of it, when you're sitting in that bed and you're about to die, you're like, wow, I spent my whole life just working and helping somebody else get rich. And I left not one imprint. And it kind of breaks my heart that so many people are here for however long they're here and they go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as if they never existed.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's a fear of mine. I think that's what kind of pushed me into acting, because I feel like it's a way for me to like live much longer than me being here for however long that I'm going to be here.
Exactly.
So you were modeling, you were doing commercials, you became the big fish in South Florida.
Yes.
Before that, were you like were you in any like school plays or like church plays or anything like that?
I was never the creative. Well, I was always creative, but I was more on like the jock side of things.
Okay.
So I never really did the plays. I was into playing every sport possible.
Which is technically performance.
So in a way, it is a way of, but it's not individualism. That's the difference. Because I never enjoyed having spotlight on me. And that was always like a pet peeve of mine. I could care less about what I did, no matter what the team did, which is a very different way of thinking. Most people think are like individual thinkers and, you know, they want to, you know, do the best for themselves on a team and be the star. You know, I was never the star. I was always the one that was overlooked, but I always was the one that tried the hardest. So I'd try, never be at the spotlight. So I got used to always never getting it. So I was always deferring to it. But then once I got it, I was like, wow, I'm naturally good at this. So let's see how this goes. And it got better and better and better. And then I was just, you know, I actually threw myself into the fire. And it was just like, this is just so natural.
You never turned back since then.
Well, it's just, I had no fear. I have no fear to do anything. Like if you put me in something, I'm willing to try it. And everything I've done so far in my life, I've excelled in. So me trying all these new things, dancing, you know, directing, choreography, everything, I'm doing really excellent at it just because I have no fear of failing.
That's actually great, because I started taking a stunt class recently and I'm like all injured from like the knees down. And when I was thinking about why am I getting injured, why am I messing up on certain things, I was like, oh, it's because of fear. Mm-hmm. My fear of looking like a fool in front of these stunt guys. My fear of
pain.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah. I'm going to break it. Yeah, I know.
But you see all these guys doing it fearlessly.
Yeah. And it's...
You're like, doesn't that hurt?
But
it does hurt, but they have no fear of getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes adrenaline alone can take you through it.
Yes and no. But the key is to calm your adrenaline. Once you are able to control your adrenaline, then you have full control over your actions.
There's a tip there, people, for your acting. Control the adrenaline. No, people say that. Exactly. Like in the audition process.
You can't let it take over.
Hey, you can't.
You have to let it drive you. You have to let that adrenaline pick you up and lift you up. But you can't let it dictate your actions. You have to be clear-minded whenever you're doing anything. Or you have to be in that extra state of mind, that subconscious acting. If you're able to get into subconscious acting, then that's a very natural way of just giving emotions. Because you don't even know what you're doing. You're just letting the moment take over.
Yeah. And that's like the best times is when you're in a scene and it kind of feels like you're living it.
Yeah. You're there. Like everything around you is dark.
Yes.
And then you just see the person and it's like you have pinpoint eyes and you're just focused in the moment. And then you just get lost in that character. And I mean, it's just everything goes away. You're not thinking about everything else. You're just thinking about like, wow, what do I say now? Oh, these are my lines. Oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Giving it to it just as raw as you can give it. And it's just, you can't do that if you're letting your adrenaline take over, because then you feel your fingers, you feel your toes, you feel your hair starting to stick up because the adrenaline's taking over. When that happens, you're focused on your body's reactions instead of the moment. So you don't have full control.
And it's just like in the audition. I mean, that was a question that's coming up soon, but we might as well just run into it now. Like, preparing for an audition.
Yeah.
And you get there and you're sitting in the room, you know, the guys around you kind of look like you, because I've been in those situations.
Yeah, everyone.
My Twitter nerds. It's like, and you get in a room, you don't know these people a lot of times, or you do know them sometimes.
Sometimes,
and that adrenaline does come up when they say, okay, now slate.
Yep.
So when you get that adrenaline, what do? Do you just take a deep breath?
Well, for me, one thing I've learned is you can smile through anything. That's one thing I've learned. So if I have a bunch of adrenaline and I'm just, you know, I end up just talking. So I'll talk and smile And that kind of calms me down. And then I'm able to talk because I can release some of this anxiety because then I can get an idea on what type of person they are. If they're very, you know, hard charging, you know, very loud, you know, poignant, you know, dictations, then you know, well, this, you know, I have to might act this a little different in this audition. But if they're just like, okay, how you doing, very soft spoken, then you know you might have a little bit more, you know, you could obtain that moment a little bit easier.
Mm. That's a great tip, actually.
Yeah.
I have to write that one down. So what do you do after an audition then? Like, do you forget
every it? Every time, forget it. I said it, then forget it. And then pretty much if I get it, then I'm happy. But if I don't get it, I'm already forgot about it. So yeah. I'm not even worried about it.
Yeah.
But the key is to leave an audition knowing you did the best you could. That's the key. If you leave like, well, they got what they got. I did my best. All right, I'm not gonna hang my head about it. Off to the next one. I really just don't hang myself on an audition. If I do an audition, the first thing I try and do is get another audition. Because then you're not focused on it. If you get it, cool. You know, high five yourself, pat the back. But if you're focused on getting another audition, then you have something to fall back on if you don't get that audition.
Yeah. It's similar to what Bryan Cranston was saying in his book, you know, I think I have this right. Yeah, he would do an audition and he would toss the script away.
Yeah,
and me just too. Forget. Yeah, that's what I do. I do it before I even leave the
not when you leave the building,
but
as soon as you're capable of doing it without having a second thought or second guessing it, you're like, okay, I can do this. I'm okay. All right, gone.
Yeah.
Off to the next one.
Yeah, I like to completely forget about any auditions because I feel like if I thought, there are some times though where I have an audition and I, for some weird reason, I put way more into it than I.
Which is good. Which is good. It makes you different when you put yourself completely into something.
Yeah. So then I do tend to think like, dang, that would have been fun to do because I really feel like I nailed that character. Yeah. But for the most part, I try to forget just like you about the audition. Because you can easily go crazy out here.
But you can always appreciate that character. So if you just put yourself into a character for an audition, take a note of it. Like if you really put that much into it, you can be like, well, I can kind of use that in this audition. One of the biggest, I know we have so many different things, I'm probably going off topic.
No, that's cool.
But one of the opportunities I got when I first got here was to be on the other side of the camera on the auditions. That's how I met you.
Oh, yeah. With the auditions for
Welcome Home.
Yeah.
With
Jessica Brown.
Jessica Brown.
Yeah.
And being able to have that opportunity, I hadn't taken any acting classes. I haven't taken any acting coaching. I haven't taken anything. Everything I do is completely raw from my life experience. So I don't go into a character. I just go into the way I did it in real life. So it's a very different way of approaching. But one thing I got a chance to do seeing the actual auditions was I got to see different actors doing the same reads. So when you go into an audition, you think of it your way. You think, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to make this amazing. This is this. You go in there, you do the best you can, and then I evaluate you. And I get a chance to see what you did. Well, the next person comes in with their completely different perspective on the exact same dialogue. And you get to see what you like and what you don't like, as opposed to only seeing what you give. So when you get to see that, it's like a master class because I'm seeing the best of everybody. Everybody's giving me their best on the same lines. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah, I really like that. No, that wouldn't even work. No, that guy, why would you even do that? No, that's terrible. That would work. That doesn't really work. And then you get to compare because you had three panels. I might say, hey, this person's amazing, amazing, the best one. The other person might be, no, I thought they were terrible. I didn't think they were good at all. And you see the conflict of perspective off of the exact same thing. So you don't get caught up on your way of thinking when you go into an audition again. What I do now is I think of all these different ways somebody could do the same dialogue, and if I was looking at it, which one would I think was to be the best?
Wow, that's actually great because I mean, I've heard from some people saying if you ever get a chance as an actor, be a casting assistant because you get to learn
it's intense.
A lot about, and it's interesting that you say like people approach it the same way, because I read that in some books, they're like, most likely everyone that does an audition is going to probably read it in some variation of the same.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out how you can make yours different. My last guest said one of her ways of doing it is she reads it, and however she thinks it's supposed to be read, she completely switches it, because then she knows that everybody else is going to think the exact same way. So she needs to do something to like switch it up. So you use that. From that one experience of just sitting on the other side, it's completely helped you. It's interesting too, because you said you didn't, you haven't gone acting class.
No, I have no bad habits. I have no bad habits.
There you go. I feel like that's one thing, and I know I might get a little pushback from saying this, but I feel like with acting classes, especially out here, there's so many classes teach you how to do something based on the way the teacher thinks you're supposed to do it. And I feel like as an actor, everyone that succeeds are those who just really develop who they are and have no qualms about their own personalities or what they're giving. Too many people are way too focused on, well, how can I do this to make this casting director happen? No, fuck that. How can you do this so you can be you in this scene? And that's actually what I'm struggling with every single day when I audition.
Exactly. Exactly. Just because your casting director or acting coach says this is the way it's supposed to do it, might not be the way that you're supposed to do it. You just because you please that person doesn't mean you're going to get a role.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real life. Yeah. Like, I might do things that would piss a lot of people off, but if I get a role over those people, then what do you I know why you're mad. It's just not, it's because you can't do it. You can't see it the way I see it. I mean, you do it in a way that's you're a conformist. You just do what other people want you to do.
Yeah.
But realistically, the things that people look for are the things that people that stand out.
Yeah.
That people are doing things that people don't want them to do, but that gains attention. And as an actor, you need spotlight. You need, you know, you need a fan base in order to, you know, increase your
caliber. You have to be different to do that.
You have to be yourself.
Really, you just have to be yourself, whoever you are. Yes. You just have to be yourself.
You can't conform to other people's wants.
Yeah, you really can.
You can't.
I mean, you can look at all the major stars, all the actors, whether it's the top, the middle, or the bottom, all of the actors that are working consistently, all do not question their intuition, their motives, how they dress, how the world sees. They don't really care how the world's, I mean, they do, everyone
they do kind of cares. They do.
But with that being said, they still commit to who they are as a person. And I feel like I'm trying to get more to, because for the first 2 years of my career out here, I was like, should I look like this to get a job? Should I act like that to get a, do I need to be more masculine? Do I need to be more effeminate? So I get the gales. Do I need to do this? And it's like, dude, just chill out. Just be yourself. Because every time I booked something, it was always when I was just...
You.
And I think so many actors need to get that. And it's amazing that you get that. Because you don't have the traditional actor background, but you, out of all the actors I know, you really seem like you really get what it is to be an actor. Just be in the moment. Live the moment. Be yourself.
The easiest way... I could say to separate yourself from a normal actor to an excellent actor is to take the moment as if you're supposed to be dead already.
Well, can you please explain that to me?
So if you live a life or moments that you aren't supposed to live, you appreciate those moments more. You cherish those moments because you weren't supposed to have them. So if you look at things like, wow, I shouldn't be able to appreciate this moment right now. I shouldn't be able to do this job right now. I shouldn't be able to act this role right now. If you look at it with those eyes, you're 100% present at that time.
So it's almost like being humble?
Yes.
Okay.
Overly humble.
Overly humble.
More appreciation, more appreciative. So You're thankful that you get an opportunity to do this. Regardless of what comes out of it, the opportunity to do what you're doing is what satisfies you.
Yeah.
Not the repercussion of what you did.
Yeah. That's so true. You know, and every day out here, for myself, I feel like I'm living a dream. And yeah. you might be dealing with the same thing. It's like living in New Jersey. I was like, you know, I'm probably going to work in retail the rest of my life, you know, make good money, blah, blah, blah. I never thought in a million years I would be living in LA. One, two, acting in movies and shows with people that I've seen on television since I was like maybe 5 years old, and they're like standing next to me in a scene. I'm like, there are days I have to pinch myself, because, or even just three, being on a movie set where I get to say something. I'm an actor. Like every day, I'm like, dude, this is a dream come true. And I really have to appreciate every moment, because I always think about the little kid that's like in Idaho or like in Florida. Right yeah. now, it's like sitting in their room saying, oh man, I wish I could be in a movie. Oh man, I wish I could do this. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. There's so many people that want to be in our shoes. And I think there's a lot of actors out here that get so burnt out because of the process, but it's like you forget there's thousands of people that are killing, that are dying to be where you are. They would love to sleep on the street if it means they get to go to an audition at Space Station tomorrow, you know? It's the simple stuff. So, what was your first role? Like your first professional role, and what was that experience like?
First
acting.
Role acting.
Mm-hmm. Was it out here?
I would say it was a commercial, but it was a non-speaking role. Mm-hmm. So we were on the beach, and I was the father of a family, and we went kayaking. That was it was a commercial, and then I also did a music video. So I didn't do an actual speaking role until I did a Facebook short film when I came out here.
What film was that?
It was with Darmann, mm-hmm. Darmann, and it was helping a homeless man. Or it was a dog. It was a stray dog. The dog wanted food. I didn't give the dog food. And then I saw a homeless man give the dog food. And then I ended up giving the homeless man my leftovers. That was my first speaking role. And then I did it. My second role was another one of Darman's little short films. But it was a light and dark kind of film to it, to where there's a man who's going about his life ignoring all the people that need help. And then he goes through a revelation when he needs help and somebody helps him. And then he starts helping all the people in his life that he didn't help before. So it was a really uplifting, you know, little couple pieces, especially to start out. Darmann, he has multiple millions of viewers on his videos. And I got fortunate enough to get put onto that vein.
What was that experience like? I mean, it was your first speaking
role. First speaking role. And it was crazy as my brother got me that role.
Oh, how'd that work out?
Because he works in Malibu, and one of his customers ended up knowing the production company, got the email, he gave it to me, and I sent them my information, ended up getting the role, and I got the lead role on my first thing.
Did you audition or?
No, I just got the lead role based off of pictures and resume.
That's another thing I feel like out here. People think that it's a lot of times it's the audition, it's just networking.
It is.
It's just knowing people.
But here's the thing. There's so many content producers out here. So many creators that everyone could do stuff. It's just a matter of they don't know how to look for it. Mm-hmm. Like they get stuck with their certain channels of getting information, of getting their auditions. When really, if you know people, you could just go out with four people and just make a photo shoot, mm-hmm. you know, one day. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has cameras.
Everyone has cameras. I mean, you could do a whole movie on a camera, on a phone now.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on a set of, I don't know if I want to give too much away because I think I'm on an NDA. I was on a set of a movie with these big major stars.
Done.
And the guy had an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like a super successful director with the iPhone.
I'm
like,
yeah, the whole chassis.
Yeah, he had the whole thing around. But still, it's an iPhone. Yeah. I mean, so content can be easily produced. So people that don't have demo reels, that don't have anything, it's like you have no excuse. You can literally set your camera in your living room right now and do a monologue or something of a character. Like, no one has an excuse not to have content or even to have principal work or speaking roles in anything, because you can really do it yourself.
You really can.
You really can.
But it's, people need to go out and talk to other people. That's the issue.
Yeah.
And
do you think that the world is kind of changing that a little? Because,
well, I think it's better now because you have more people can talk to more people. So, like, let's say on Instagram, you can message anybody you see in LA that takes pictures. Hey, you know, I'm trying to build my portfolio. Would you be willing to take pictures with me to make that happen? Mm. But the speaking face to face, so many people are hypercritical to judgment. So they don't want to hear anything that they do incorrectly or wrong, or they don't want to hear that. They want to hear all the things that they can do better. So
I feel like I like constructive criticism.
Most people don't have, you have to give proper constructive criticism, because people can give criticism all they want and be like, no, well, you can't just take a, you know, no, because you're not telling me the right things you need to tell me. You're just telling me I need to change my look. No, well, you know what I mean? Oh, you just need to change your look. Okay, well, that doesn't help me at all. You know?
What about my look?
What about my change? You know what I mean? So, like, it's just a very, it's like an undertone of, like, having demeaning comments.
Yeah. And it keeps people from, like, really connecting.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm
trying to say. I can see that happening, because I've had, like, two incidences where, I'm just going to be open about it. Like, someone was criticizing what I was doing, and instead of just telling me, I mean, I knew why what was happening, and I didn't want to just say it, because if I would have said it, it would have been, the person would realize it was kind of their fault. But I like to take full responsibility for my own actions and what I'm doing. But I did get a little offended, and it did make me not want to work with her ever again. So that does happen.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, you have to find a way to give criticism where it's helping the person, just opening their eyes to something, instead of just saying, you effed up and this is a piece of crap. And it just ruins relationships. And then, you know, your pool of people to work with gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But it should be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, we're in LA. Almost everyone out here is doing something.
One person should lead to three more people.
Exactly.
And that is strictly based off of how you treat people. If you treat people with a very positive energy, that even when... Can we just curse on this? No. Even if things are not going the way that you want them to, if you keep a positive attitude and you can get the people around you to maintain positivity, they're going to work with you again. You have to make people want to work with you again.
Yeah. That actually something that I think about. Like, sometimes my husband's like, why are you so worried about whether that director or co-star doesn't respond? I say, because if I'm getting a vibe that they don't like me, that's two less people I can work with in this town. So it's like, I really need to figure out, what am I doing to make this happen so I can switch that? Because I don't want to keep working with people and they're like, oh, he's a douche or whatever it is that they're saying. I don't know what they're saying.
Or just not somebody worth working again.
Exactly. And you want to build that. You don't want people to not want to work with you. That's counterproductive of what you're doing out here.
So a lot of people hurt themselves because they get lost in the masses.
Yeah.
If you act and you carry yourself the same way as everybody around you, then you're going to be treated the exact same way that everybody's around you. But if you act different than everybody around you, let's say everybody's negative and you're the one positive person, people are going to want to be around that positivity much more frequently than the negativity, because you're nothing different. They're going to get the same thing out of the next person that they get out of you.
Exactly.
But if you get somebody that's different, you're not going to be able to just pull somebody in and get that type of production, that type of energy, that type of vibe. I mean, what makes you a good actor is setting yourself apart. So you have to mentally do that consistently.
Every single day.
Every day. You have to be different. But that they have to do it this way. And then they get to a point where, like, oh, I can't. Well, if I do it that way, then I end up, this person's the type of success that I want. And then you look in the big picture, the person that you're idolizing really isn't that successful. The person that you're idolizing might be one of many people, but then you just get lost in the masses of success. The only difference between rich people and poor people is normality. That's the only thing that's different.
Normality meaning?
Everyday life. Okay. Rich people get used to a certain type of way. And it might be new and different for the poor people, but after a while, then you just take for granted everything that you have. Okay. You know, if you can eat 5 meals a day, then you just get used to eating 5 meals a day and you take that for granted. If you can eat 1 meal a day, you just get used to that and you just get used to eating 1 meal a day. It's your normality, which you how you go through your day-to-day life. And pretty much it's the exact same thing. It's just what's everybody's different normality.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense because I noticed anything in life, you get used to it.
Yeah, that's it.
And then after a while, you're like, oh. I guess it's just my life. Like,
that's it.
Even when I think about the past and living in New Jersey and places I've been, it's like it's all in the past. I don't really even think about it because it's done. I'm on to something else. My life like this is normal to me. Yep. Whereas like maybe 2 years ago, I was living in my parents. Not 2 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I was back at home with my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, I was hungry all the time because, yep, you know, I was struggling. And then I just desired for so much. And then now I'm a little bit more comfortable, and I do notice that naturally I sort of take certain things for granted that I never used to take for granted before. So I'm glad that you actually said that, because it is just about what you're used to in your everyday life.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I've met some rich people that are just like, oof.
Like, they'll make it sound like their life sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, well, if you get used to eating at Michelin star restaurants your entire life, then you take that for granted,
yeah,
as opposed to having to eat rice every night.
Every single night.
You know, if you're eating rice every night, then okay, that's what your life is. But you're still the exact same species of human. The same species of human. The only difference is you have a different normal lifestyle than somebody else. But
I think some actors do get intimidated by that when they're on set and there's like a bigger star ahead of them. And I see it all the time. People like start to act like they're peasants or servants. Yeah, they start bowing to them. Now, granted, I've been upset with some people and I'm like, you can't make eye contact because, you know, their bodyguard said, don't make eye contact with them. But that's fine. I get that. But there are times like an actor came up to me and said something to me and I was so shocked because it's like, I wasn't thinking like you thought. I wasn't thinking that he's just another guy with a job. I was like, oh, he's this big star and blah, 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 blah. I need to look down. I need to act like, you know, he's much different than me, but he's not.
Yeah.
And that's what's mind-boggling out here. Actually, once you're in this town and you're starting to see people on a normal basis, you're like, my God, they're just normal freaking people. Yeah. Being on set watching, like, you know, a big name fall asleep, and you're like, damn, she's tired.
Yeah.
I just saw her on that show yesterday on the red carpet or whatever, but she's just here tired. She's just like you and me. So I think a lot of more actors need to start thinking like that too.
Yeah.
Being a more successful doesn't mean that you become a different person.
Everybody goes through depression. You could be the richest man in the world and go through depression. Or you could be the poorest man in the world with nothing, a homeless man on the side of the road with no depression.
Be happy.
And you know, you might not be able to have all the same things, but if you have a whole bunch of money and you end up killing yourself, is that a better life than having no money and living a happy life? I mean, I don't know how you can grade that, but you might be able to affect more people with money, but as a person, as a Homo sapien, I mean, you go through your own internal demons, regardless of how much money you have.
Yeah, Okay. So, do you consider yourself a TV actor, a theater actor? Like,
I want to be feature films.
Feature films.
That's what I came here for.
Like, what kind of feature films? Like, do you see yourself in, like, action, drama, comedies, or all?
I literally think I've proven that I can do everything. So based off of that, I think I don't know what I'm capable of doing. I'm capable of doing everything, so I want to do everything.
Do you see yourself as a leading man type or more the character actor?
I never came here to be a supporting actor.
Which is interesting because you seem to have had that shift, because when you were doing sports, you were like, oh, it's a team effort.
Exactly.
Which is interesting because
you hit it on the head, man. Holy crap. You hit it on the head. Well, good job.
Well,
it's true.
You grew.
Yeah.
You had to grow. Would you say, in my mind, I think you doing sports is almost like an actor doing theater, because in theater, it's always like a team effort. I mean, yeah, you do get those prima donnas. It's like, you know, I want the light to be shining on me the brightest. But at the end of the day, it's all the cast, the ensemble making it, and the behind the scenes making it all come together. Orchestra.
That's exactly, you're hitting it on the head, absolutely.
When did you realize you wanted to be more of a leading man? Was it when you started to get success at, in sports and people started to look at you more and notice?
Well, the thing was, I was always successful in sports, but I was never looked at as the best guy or the main guy, even though I felt that I was, you know, but I always felt that I was the best, but I was never recognized as the best.
Were you ever toot your own horn or anything, or try to?
Well, that was my issue, is I was very soft spoken about myself. So I was never I was arrogant with my abilities, but I never vocalized that. So I was never bragging about like, yeah, I can do this, I can do that. I was more the guy like, I'll show you what I can do. And then
I'm
versus saying it. But that's a lot of internal feelings that you hold in. So if you never get that recognition, then you have a lot of internal, you know, conflict. So after a while, I proved to myself, you know what? I am the best. Regardless of what everybody else says, if they don't see me as the best, then that's their loss. But I am the best. So after I got that mindset, every job I did, I was the best at that job. And I did so many different jobs.
I feel that. We have that in common. Like, we just try our hand in a bunch of different things.
If you're good at it, why not try something different?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather be a master of all than a master of one. It's
really, even though people say the contrary, it's better to be a master of one versus a jack of all trades or something.
Well, they say that in order to run a stable society, because if everybody thought that way, then you wouldn't have structure. But then again, the internet allowed people to go and do whatever they wanted to do without having to go through a system. The system is what is going to get broken the minute people go off and do whatever they want to do. Like, let's say the majority of people didn't want to go to school for business, and instead all the business majors ended up being music majors, and we just had a whole economy based off of musicians. I mean, it'd be a whole different system. A lot of people that make a lot of money in high positions wouldn't be able to make that money anymore because they wouldn't have the type of workload.
That makes perfect sense. I mean,
Everybody can't be musicians. Everybody can't be actors. Everybody can't have arts as their major.
I feel like those things are very important in our world. I think it's great that there's all of that, because it gives us such a rich life. With that being said, like, going back to the films, is there any one type of film that you see yourself doing more than others? Like,
I know I would absolutely kill any action role I do.
I was kind of picturing that.
I know that, though. That's like me. Like, my best sport I played was baseball, but my favorite sport was football. So my best sport or best film I could probably do would be an acting film. But I don't know what my favorite is yet.
What are your feelings about typecasting?
Personally or in general?
In general,
I think it's necessary.
Personally,
I think it's impossible to typecast me.
Why?
Because once you get me, you get a whole different idea of what you thought you got. Like, you'd be like, okay, this guy can do this. And then he comes on set and he's like, holy shit, he can do everything. Like, I didn't expect all that. And like, I didn't even know this guy's background. And then he tells it to me and then he's just like, oh, well, why don't you try doing this? Oh, damn, you're really good at that. Why don't you try doing this? Yeah, you're really good at that.
Where do you think that comes from, that natural ability? Was it from your parents or?
I was always good at every sport I ever did growing up. And I was a decent dancer. I think for me is my stubbornness. I think my stubbornness is both my weakness and my strength. And because I personally hold myself to a certain standard of excellence, and it allows me to completely focus on what I'm trying to do because I want to make sure that I'm the best at what I do. But I mean, overall, it doesn't allow me to let information or allow people to affect my decision. Yeah, I don't get them manipulated, which a lot of people take offense to because then you don't include them into your life or your decisions. Mm-hmm. And they feel like you don't want their opinion or their opinion's not worth anything to you, which in reality, you don't want their opinion. But in order to maintain relationships, you have to have other people's opinion.
Yeah, you have to at least ask.
Yeah, you have to do it. Even if you make your own decisions, for a positive relationship, you have to have a give and take.
Yeah.
Even if you don't, you know, decide off of what they give you, you still have to, you know, take what they give you because that's how you maintain.
I mean, that's strong character because out here we were talking about it before, and you know, you having to be who you are. It's kind of like you have to be a little stubborn in a way.
You do.
There's a saying, I might be butchering it, everyone needs a little bit of selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
it's a great thing.
Especially in this career, if you're not selfish in a way, you can get swayed any freaking mm-hmm. way that someone, like someone can come to you on Monday, say one thing, you go, okay, I'll do it that way. And then on Thursday, someone says something different, you're doing it that way. It's like, you do need a little level of stubbornness, a little level of mm-hmm. selfishness so you can like sustain yourself, your sanity, and your brand because mm-hmm. out here people will tell you, like you said earlier, everyone will have a different opinion on how you should do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow everyone's opinion, you would literally be spinning in circles all day long. But if you're stubborn, and we're not saying this as a negative, it's mm-hmm. as a positive. Mm-hmm. If you're stubborn and you know what you want, you know where you see yourself,
mm-hmm.
then it's much easier to get there because you don't have a bunch of other people telling you stuff and you're confused.
The best way I could put it would be like a flag on a flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
When you are not stubborn, you're the flag. So the wind dictates everywhere you go. But the minute you become a little bit selfish or stubborn, you ingrain yourself into the soil and you become the pole. So the wind can manipulate where you might sway, but you will always stay in the same place.
Ah, for a second I was getting a little lost, but I totally get it now.
Yeah, you will always stay in the same place. So if you have a stronghold on your opinion of who you are and what you do, instead of you conforming yourself to all these different opinions, you'll allow yourself to have a little bit of influence. You'll have your basis, you'll have your stronghold, you'll have your base, but you can then add to it instead of take away from it.
Oh my gosh. So many actually heard some of this stuff. I think it just kind of applies to everyone in a way.
Yeah.
Because
you need you first.
Yeah.
And then you can build on you. But you can't just keep changing who you are for everybody else.
What do you think? Do you think it's fear-based when people do that? Because I know for me, it's a lot of times it's out of fear. Like, well, what if, you know, people stop liking me? And I know a lot of people probably think that crap.
I think as opposed to fear, I think it's because we grow up so naive. We grow up not knowing who we are. And because we go to other people, we're trying to figure out how we're supposed to do something. And realistically, we're asking advice from people that don't know how to do it themselves. So,
which you should never take advice. That's why some people that give me advice, like I have one friend, I don't want to give too many details, but she would constantly tell me how I should be acting, how I should be doing in my career. And I would just be sitting there like, you've never been in a sitcom. You've never been in a movie. You told me you've worked with every agency in town. They've all fired you, or you fired her, whatever the story is. Why would I take advice from you? And she would get so upset at me that I wasn't taking her advice. I'm like, you have no success. Like, it makes no sense to take advice. You can't we just be friends and just talk about BS? You know, talk about some show we like, or you know, go out and eat and mm-hmm. talk about the food. I don't want any acting advice from you because I don't want to be a failure. That's a little mean to say, but it's the reality of the situation. You're not in anything. You can't selfishness. Give me advice.
It's the selfishness you need.
Yeah.
You need to be like, no, I want to be me. I don't want to be you.
Exactly. And honestly, I feel a little bit better because I was starting to get like anxious and like.
Everybody feels that though, because everybody wants to have their opinion listened to. Mm-hmm. So the anxiousness you feel, a bunch of people feel that anxiousness because there's so many people trying to press their opinions onto other people, other actors. Mm-hmm. So everything that you're feeling, I can guarantee you got about 75 to 80% people go through this.
Yeah.
That's feeling that sure. same way.
That's for sure. Would you be more into scripted acting or improv?
So I never done improv before. And I came out here and I ended up finding out that improv is one of my strong suits. So I enjoy improv, but I don't know how I could do improv for a long period of time as opposed to scripted acting for a long period of time. Like to do a whole feature film improv would be very interesting to me. I think I would love to try it. I think I could do it, but scripted acting, I think I get overzealous on trying to make it my own. And I find that me trying to make it to where like, oh, I want to, this would be how I do it. This is how I do it. This is how I do it. I find myself having to pull myself back on trying to, you know, give my opinion onto this script because there is a certain way that it's gonna get portrayed in the film that might not necessarily coincide with the way that I wanna say it or change it or not change it, but like you change little is's to r's mm-hmm. and we's to is and like little stuff like mm-hmm. that to make it so when you're saying it, it's natural. Mm-hmm. But there is a bigger picture than what you just see. So that's the kind of, you know, push-pull that I go through, trying to make it my own mm-hmm. without overstepping my boundaries.
So then how do you develop your characters?
I develop my characters, I read it, and then I have a little switch. Mm-hmm. And then once I flip the switch, I completely turn into the character. I don't know how I do it. It's very difficult. It's probably related to football. Because in football, I could just flip a switch and then just act like a completely different football player. But when I do it like this, it's like I get into that subconscious zone and I just say it with as much emotion and as put myself as much into the words as I can. And it's sometimes you cry, sometimes you scream, sometimes you laugh.
But you're always in the moment.
But I do my best to try it to always be in the moment. Wow. So not always there, but I do my best to try.
It started to seem like maybe actors should take up a sport or something to like learn.
It's a hobby. You can do, let's say you, musicians. Musicians don't know if they're able to perform until they go in front of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to put yourself in a position where you are the one performing, doing a spotlight. And if you like it, then you know what? This might be for you. If you don't like it, then you might want to take on to something else. But the sports, that was the biggest thing for the team building, being able to see what was needed to be successful. Because I could be as successful as I want, but if I don't have the people next to me successful, then we're not going to win a championship. You know, so if we want to win championships, what I have to be a leader that is able to provide all the needs for everyone around me so that we can all collectively succeed.
And do you think that kind of helped with you wanting to be a leading man too? Because yes. That's kind of what a leading yes. actor is on set. You yes. know, they're the...
I always saw myself as the captain. On every team I was on, I would always saw myself as the captain, but I was never... When I played football, I was allowed to be the captain, but I had to ask to be the captain. It wasn't given to me. But I was never the captain, but I was always the captain in my mind. So I always did the best for the team. What could we do as a collective? And I'm going to inspire you by showing you how hard I work. I'm not going to tell you how hard I work. I'm going to show you. I'm going to outwork you. And then I'm going to gain your respect that way.
And that's how you feel you're going to approach the set when you're the leading actor.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to earn your respect with what I show you, not with what I tell you.
Well, I mean, another saying, pay attention to the actions, not the words.
Yes, absolutely. Words are fluff.
Yeah.
You can have a whole fire festival with words.
I really could.
You could. It happened.
But nothing to back it up.
Nothing to back it up.
Yeah, it's always about the action. So is sports something you do to stay sane?
No. I mean, I did.
What do you do now, like out here, to keep you from, like, because it doesn't seem like you have too many issues with, you know, dealing with rejection. I mean, I'm sure there are times where you may deal with different emotions, but like, what do you do to, like, just, you know, keep your mind leveled and
sane? Well, that's where the food blogging comes in. Okay. So, well, I've recently become a dancer. I didn't know about it. I just found this out recently that I could dance.
You've never danced before.
Nobody, my family's never seen me dance. My friends have never seen me dance. Nobody has ever seen me dance, ever.
Not even at a club.
Maybe a club, but not like
this is dance, more dance. Like, you know.
More that was like party dance, man.
Party, okay. Because you're, what kind of dancing are you taking up now,
actually? So the fantasy film I was in, Go Long Blues, made by Alfonso Walker, I was learning how to do the waltz, the foxtrot, and the jive swing.
Whoa.
So in the fantasy, we end up doing all those dances. And then I'm also learning how to do a Russian and Ukrainian dance now. And so I'm now a dancer, apparently. That waltz, foxtrot, jive swing, Russian dance, and Ukrainian dancing. Hey, how you doing? So I've been dancing a lot of rehearsals. Uh-huh. And then my food blog is, that's my path. Because when I came here, I drove here for a month. I stopped everywhere I wanted to eat. And that was my goal, was I'm going to take my time. I'm no rush to, once I come to LA, I'm here to be an actor. I knew what my goal was, but I had no rush to get to that goal so I could take my time.
Do you still approach it the same way? Like, just really no rush. It's a marathon.
Yes. Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace. But the marathon is, actor is just one aspect of my life. So I've had so many different experiences that I want to take acting and then let that take me to the next level. And then on this next level, I'm very interested to see what my next branch is going to be. Maybe music, maybe, you know, humanitarian acts, maybe, you know, building things. I don't know what it's going to do.
But you're open to.
Oh, I'm absolutely.
So your food blogging, that's pretty much what you do.
I love food. Oh my God.
Don't we all?
Oh my God.
Well, do you work out a lot too? Because if you're.
I don't. So me being me, I've gone through schooling, I've gone through sports, I've gone through military, I've gone through a whole bunch of different things. So I kind of got an idea on what my body was capable of and what I could put it through and everything. So, I kind of, once I got to school, I actually got to research and study the actual components of what happens in your body. So I was able to kind of base the amount of calories my body burns. So based off of that knowledge, I ratio out the calories that I burn to the calories that I take in. So if I burn a lot of calories, then I'll eat a little more that day. Oh. But if I don't burn any calories, then I have self-control to not eat the amount of calories that I need. So that's why I'm able to balance myself.
That's actually something I've learned through trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only days I do eat like that is if I worked out or I go on a hike or something. Mm-hmm. I know I've tested the physical, but the days I'm just sitting here, I'm like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have.
Self-control.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are unable. See, once you stop letting your stomach control your actions, then your brain starts controlling your actions. So there'll be times that I'm hungry and I don't listen to my body, and then it stops being hungry. And then I can just continue doing with my mind whatever I want to do. But there's a lot of people out there, the minute they get hungry, they can't think, they can't move, they can't walk, they can't talk, they can't do anything else except think about their food.
Yeah, and their stomach. You gotta control your mind.
You have to. Your mind controls your body. Just because you're hungry doesn't mean you're going
to
die.
Yeah. I mean, it takes about 14 days to actually die if you're going without food.
Yeah.
How many days is it without water? Like three or four?
Three days without water. And I mean, but it's still possible to live a week without water. Yeah. That's happened before.
Yeah. But The point is, the mind is very strong. We succumb to things too easily.
You're stronger than you think you are. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think they're frail, weak things, but you can actually adapt to almost every environment.
And we have. I mean, we've lived through the Ice Age. We've lived through like crazy things on Earth. So mm-hmm. I think we're very well. I think we just forget that because when we're like you said, we're in the structure now, in the system mm-hmm. that's teaching us to just.
Just stay in your lane. Yeah. Don't do anything else. They put feeders on us so we can eat every day, all day. We're fat and happy.
With our cell phones all the time. We're completely distracted. I always joke. I said, if I were the president or like a dictator, this is exactly what I want to happen. Everyone's on their cell phones and eating. I can do anything. Mm-hmm. But there are us, like the actors, that do see the world a little bit different because that's what mm-hmm. we're paid to do.
Mm-hmm. And comedians as well.
Yeah.
Comedians are really good at exposing certain things that a lot of people miss.
Yeah. Well, who was one of your favorite comedians? Mine would be Chris Rock. I used to love the stuff he would say.
I love Joe Rogan. Everything about Joe Rogan, I am like a full supporter of. And for some reason, we've had a very similar life. So I've always been like a partial to Joe Rogan.
He has a podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
He had the Joe Rogan Experience. Yes. So many guys listen. I need to listen to this.
He's the number one podcast on podcasts. Mm. I mean, it's gotten to a point where he literally could say nothing. Everybody just wants to hear his reactions because it's Joe Rogan, but he could literally say nothing and just have his guests say everything because his guests are like, you can't get better than that.
That's interesting. I remember he was the same host as Fear Factor, right?
Yeah.
That's where I remember his name from. That's pretty cool that he has that.
Wow. Man, he talks to every...
Is he a stand-up comedian too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stand-up comedian too. And he also does the UFC commentary. And he is the best at what he does.
I mean... I need to listen to him sometimes. I don't know why I have
listen to the guests though. The guests are really what you get the most out of. Because it's the top scientists in their field... go on the podcast.
Wow. Yeah, because I remember...
Psychologists, therapists.
Elon Musk, that was a whole Elon Musk.
David Sinclair, Jordan Peterson, so many different people. C.T. Fletcher was on there.
What do you think it is about Joe Rogan that attracts so many people? Is it his honesty?
His familiarity. When you go around him, you feel comfortable and he doesn't, you know, make you feel... like weird or different. He's one of the best, you know, responders in a conversation because he's very quiet. He listens to you and he knows when to ask questions to dig deeper into certain things. Not all of his questions are, you know, the best questions to ask, but he just gives whatever he has at that time. So it's like, it's very raw. You feel like it's a very, you know, intimate conversation that they're having.
I'm going to have to definitely listen to it sometime.
Yeah.
What do you think your biggest challenge in your career is right now?
Money. So doing things without money means that you do things for passion. So if I have no money and I'm not getting money, then what is my drive to put my best into something? Well, because I'm such a perfectionist of myself, everything I do, I put forth a lot of effort and a lot of energy. But I notice there's people around me that are doing the same free work, but they get caught up in the, well, I'm not getting paid for this. You know, what's the point of me, you know, going all out? I mean, if you're there already, if you do all the necessary, you know, planning and reserving of plans and making sure that you can be at something. If you're there, then what's the point of not doing the best?
100%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are really upset about doing something, think about all this hardship you had to do to get to that point. Think of like, oh man, I just had to drive 2 hours to get on this set in traffic. Like, and I'm sitting here not doing anything. This is bullshit. I'm not, you know, this is a waste of my time. You completely just disregarded that you were in traffic for 2 hours to get to this place. You might have had a reserve plan. You might have had to cancel work. You might have had to get a babysitter. You might have had to, you know, arrange to borrow somebody's car or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their own story.
Yeah.
But if you go through all that trouble to get to some place, then you need to make sure that you see it through and you don't give up halfway through, because then you're just cheating yourself.
You really are. It's like I mentioned before, like when I'm working out, if it comes to like the last rep, I'm just like, oh man, I don't really want to do this. What's the point of quitting? The app is not going to be like, oh well, I'm not cheating the app. I'm only cheating myself.
Yes.
It's, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but on free work, you never know what will happen. Because I got paid for a lot of my roles, and none of them have gone anywhere. And one role I got, I did for free. I actually got acknowledged.
You got picked up and acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you just never know. You can't go into, especially if you're out here to be an actor. Do free work. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it builds a reel. You meet people. I mean, I think...
You meet people.
Yeah.
You meet people.
Yeah, that's
you
the most network. Important thing.
You get people to like you. That's the key. The key to being a good actor is getting people to like you. That's it. If you can get people to like you, who cares if you're getting paid for it? The people that are producing it apparently are going to eventually get money. Mm-hmm. Eventually.
Yeah.
Because you see them producing stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they like
it'd be
you.
Great for them to like call you back and be like, hey, I mean, look at stories like Michael B. Jordan. He works with Ryan Coogler on that Fruitvale, I hope I get it right, Fruitvale Station.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's been working with him for multiple films throughout his career so far now. So it's like you build these relationships and you never know, because certain directors do only like working with certain actors because they know what they're going to get.
That's right.
And that really comes out of networking and having relationships with people. And I think more actors, we should realize that the more relationships we have out here, the better chances we have at getting work outside of just going to auditions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What TV show, movie, or stage production do you feel affected you the most and kind of really pushed you to do acting?
I haven't had too many... just because I'm very, even with music, I don't have a certain genre that's like my favorite. I like all music. I think the biggest thing with me is when you see a good act, something, anytime, I mean, Robin Williams growing up was, you know, I was always drawn to the best, and I always would notice what were the things that made them the best, what made them so special. Like, what made Marilyn Monroe so special? Like, I've recently just started looking into Marilyn Monroe pictures, and I'm not looking at it to see, you know, how she acted. I'm trying to see, what did she do different that made her one of the greatest actresses of all time? And the best part that people I've researched is that she wasn't affected by other people's opinions. It would take her hours to get onto set, make everybody late. But when she was there, it was like she was living in that moment.
So she was worth the wait.
Exactly.
Make yourself worth the wait.
Exactly. Be on time. Be on time.
Yeah.
Be on time, but make yourself worth the wait. The life, the weight of life. You waited all your life to do something.
Yeah.
Make it worth your weight of waiting.
Yeah. So Robin Williams, his performance has affected you a lot.
A lot. I mean, it's just, he's just so passionate when he would act. I mean, the best part about him is you could typecast him and then he would totally catch you off guard with what he was able to do.
Yeah. Like his last few films, it was one drama where he played a photo technician somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it was a drama and I was just like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this, but I actually enjoyed it. This is a different side of that I didn't expect. So you were always attracted to like the best actors. Like if you went out to the movies, you want to see, like today you will go and see a Meryl Streep movie or something like that.
Well, yes and no. There's a lot of things that I'm not attracted to. Like there's a very common role, like the elegant, you know, white woman role in a high class society in a big mansion. Like that's kind of been overplayed but I'm really enjoying seeing, you know, all the cultural the combination of different cultures.
Yeah.
I love seeing, you know, all these, Aladdin just came out and there's just so much, you know, coming back, because Aladdin was a cartoon, so we weren't able to really connect it to mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. We could connect it to, you know, a drawing, mm-hmm. but we actually have people to represent that drawing now. So now we connect that whole drawing to people. So it's giving us a whole vision on a culture. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many things that being able to just show different,
different kinds of cultures, different kinds of people.
Diversity. Biggest thing is diversity.
I'm loving that on television, actually, right now. I mean, the movies are still trying to catch up a little. I mean, indie film has always been for that. Mm-hmm. But, like, television right now, I feel like there's so many shows about so many different kinds of yes. people. And it's not just stories about, like you said before, successful white women or successful white men. But there's a lot mm-hmm. of varied stories about successful Asian people, successful yes. Indian people, successful trans people. I mean, it's...
Everyone's successful.
Everyone
is successful. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, which rich, elegant, you know, white woman is not a good movie reel or a good topic. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the diversity that is being shown now, it's not taking away from that. It's just adding to it.
Yeah.
It's adding to this. Yeah. Now we have elegant, rich, multicultural people.
Yeah.
And it's allowing ourselves to see, I'm guessing as a child, being able to see what you could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got the typical fireman, astronaut, you know, Wall Street, but you didn't see people that were in those positions.
That looked like you.
Yeah. In different ways. I mean, everybody looks different. Like, you have every race, you know, South America, Russia, you know, Asia, Europe, Africa. But we're seeing people in playing roles, not necessarily in those positions, but playing roles of people in those positions. So it's giving people this idea that, oh, well, maybe I could do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's making it much more...
It's equality. Welcoming.
Yeah, for sure.
It's equality.
Yeah. And I think I feel like that's the only thing that our entertainment has been missing mm-hmm. for, like, up until now. It's just, mm-hmm. like, very... So I feel like one show in particular that I'm really enjoying is Pose. Only because when I watch it,
mm-hmm.
I would have never thought in a million years was something I experienced as a little teenager in mm-hmm. Newark, New Jersey... will be on television.
Mm-hmm.
But all I've been used to is this very specific stories about very specific people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch this show, I'm like, yo, is this really on television?
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, because I may not be going through it now, but it's just great that they're giving voices to people that were voiceless for mm-hmm. such a long time. And we're seeing that what they've been going through in America is being shocked at a lot of these stories. But hey, this was the reality that you've been ignoring for the longest time.
It's really there.
And now we can change, because I feel like film and TV is something that helps change and shape humanity. Like this, the new Ava DuVernay, When They See Us, it's yeah. going to change, it's going to shift how people look at crime.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's going to shift how people look at the
history of crime.
The history of crime and how we treat certain people
mm-hmm.
based on their skin tone. Like mm-hmm. it's completely unfair that those guys went to jail for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the full
details. Yeah. About 15.
But now we're seeing that. Now we're seeing the error of our ways in the past, because now we have something to show people. Now you
those kids are adults now.
Yeah.
They have a voice now. They didn't have a voice then.
Thanks to Ava DuVernay. I mean, besides them getting exonerated,
yeah.
she's using her power and her influence to say, hey, not all black men are criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And let me show you why. Because they've been put in this system where people are telling everyone that they're criminals, but they're not criminals. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I mm-hmm. absolutely love what film is doing for people right now. Who is one of your favorite TV villains, if you have one, or movie villains?
TV villains? Oh, a villain.
Yeah, I know it's usually asked the hero, but villain's more interesting.
Villain. I would have to say, maybe, dang, this is a tough one. I'm going through that. It does. Because there's just so many good villains out there. Like, you got Dragon Ball Z villains, you got like actual villains. I would say, I got one. My favorite villain, Mewtwo.
from Pokemon.
Really? Why?
Because he was all powerful, but then he was also like all humble. Like he knew what he could do, but he was so knowledgeable of what he could do that he didn't want to do it. Like, I don't know. He was a very complex character in the Pokemon. This is like, you pulled it out random, so I'm pulling out random right back
that's
at you.
That's pretty random. I'm not to watch Pokemon.
I'm sitting here like, what can I say that's like totally, because that's just me. I'm just like the different guy. Like, I'm just want to be different.
Yeah, but he was a villain that had like layers.
Yeah, he was layers to his venality. Is that a word? Is that a word? It's probably not a word. I just made a word.
You just made a word.
Venality.
You heard it here first. So, on the flip side, who's one of your heroes?
Heroes, I would have to say the Hulk.
Really?
The Hulk.
Okay.
I love the Hulk. Just because everybody was like, well, we got a Hulk. He was that guy that would like, he would shift the dynamic of a fight. Because everybody would be okay, and then the Hulk would come in, and then you just destroy everything.
Yeah, he's a pretty big dude. That's for sure.
That was my favorite.
And angry at the drop of a hat.
Ooh. Yeah, but he controlled it eventually.
That's true.
Eventually.
If you could have a superpower.
Read minds.
That was quick.
Yeah, this is premeditated.
Really, read minds.
Off the bat.
Huh.
That is the ultimate power.
That is, you could control anyone with that.
Here's the thing. If people want money, if you can read minds, you can make money. If you want to manipulate people, you literally could just sit around them for 30 minutes and then say anything you needed to manipulate them however you wanted to.
That's true, because it's actually, isn't it how like psychics work? And,
Well, mentalists.
Mentalists, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. They just...
like guess a number, and then what you don't know is that you saw this number like 6 times before you walked in unconsciously.
And was it planted though?
Yeah, they do that. Like, if they, like, especially if they want you to make a decision, they can set up, you know, subliminal messages somewhere where, like, you'll just see, like, an 8 random while you're walking down a road. And you just see another 8. And you see another 8. And you see another 8. It's just random. And then they'll be like, all right, pick number 1 through 10. You know, just because you saw 8, you'll be like, oh, 8. And they knew you were gonna say that, so they have everything set up to where you're gonna say it, and then boom, there you go. Oh my God, my mind's blown.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, read minds. I never even thought of that. Mine was telekinesis.
Oh.
That's similar. It's controlling
things. Controlling objects with Mewtwo.
Mewtwo, I'm gonna have to look into Mewtwo.
You have to. It's a Pokemon. It's like 1996, old school.
But I mean, it still affects you to this day. You still remember it.
That's what your character does, right? I guess. I don't know. I just went into the vault of villains, and that's what popped out. There's a lot of
villains.
There's a lot of villains.
What is your? You said earlier that you can do anything. You would love to do an action film, but is there a dream role? Is there like one role where someone says, "Here's a check for $100 million, make it."
This is different. So this is something that is a very irregular from what normal people want. My dream role would be a drill instructor in a military movie.
Really?
Yes, that's my dream role. A Marine Corps drill instructor, let's say in Full Metal Jacket, the first scene, that was a Marine Corps drill instructor. I would want to be that drill instructor in a remake of like Full Metal Jacket 2 or something like that, or like that's my dream role.
Does that come from like past experience?
Yes, past experience and the type of commitment that it would take to do something like that. Wow. Like it's something that if I did it, I would go all in, you know, and
Dunkirk style, baby.
Yeah, but it's just the reason I want to do it is because it's different. Nobody really knows about that stuff, but it's such an intense role. It's one of those that's like almost overly intense, where only a certain couple people might be able to ingest it properly.
Mm. That's very interesting. A drill.
Drill instructor.
Drill instructor. Now the drill.
So Army, Marine Corps, Navy, everybody has their own different recruit training. But Drill sergeants are in the Army, and then drill instructors would be in the Marine Corps.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So they're two different, whole different beats.
And is there anyone you would love to work with? Like, if you could pick... Ooh. I want to ask that. I might manipulate the question a little.
Anybody I want to work with? Mm-hmm. As an actor?
Actor and a director. Who's like, who? If you were to step on set right now...
Tarantino would definitely be an interesting one. Yeah. Or, yeah.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
Just based off of interest, mm-hmm. I'm very intrigued by his eye. I want to see what he looks like. What he looks at, like, when he directs.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. Yeah. Work with? I mean... Dwayne Johnson's, you know, ideally the best of the best. He's right now. Star. So I would love to work with him. I'd also love to work with Johnny Depp or Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, those are some big heavy hitters.
But it's possible.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that they would do better than me in a role. I mean, regardless of their experience, I think that I have different types of experience.
Yeah.
So.
That's such a great mindset that you have coming into this. And it's so, I keep thinking about it because it's interesting because you didn't go through the formal training and all that, you said before, bad habits that mm-hmm. a lot of actors go through, like go to Juilliard and all these high-end schools. And then a lot of them don't end up with, I mean, some of them do end up mm-hmm. on television. We see it. But it's like, to get that mindset that you have is what so many, that's how people become successful. It's none of the mm-hmm. other stuff.
No.
None of the other stuff. It's just that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that you have that.
This is the best way I can put it. Professional sports players are like highly successful actors. If you go into something thinking that you're going to get beat by a professional player in their field, because they're really good at it, then you've already lost that battle. If I'm going to play basketball against LeBron James, I'm not gonna go in there thinking that he's gonna beat me. I'm gonna go in there saying that I'm gonna give him everything I have. And if at the end of the day I lose, he's gonna know that I gave my best. He's gonna know it. I'm already giving it, but he's gonna know it. So it's like you earn your respect by your actions.
That's a key.
Yeah.
Now, there's about 1% of actors out here that are really successful. Like you mentioned some names like Johnny Depp, you know, mm-hmm. DiCaprio, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
99% of actors don't really make it to that level.
Mm-hmm.
Are you welcoming or are you afraid of fame? Because no one really knows if it's going to happen to them, and you really can't choose if it's going to happen to you.
I know it's going to happen to me, strictly because I don't care about it. Because it's coming. Regardless, if you go into acting, you have to be selfish because you have to know that with acting comes facial recognition, paparazzi, people wanting to know your business, you know, transparency in your actions. You can't hide it. I mean, I think because I was the way I go about things, I think that I want to be able to interact with as many people as I can. So if it's a paparazzi or fame or whatever, I'm not, you know, scared of that. I'm more welcoming of it because I know I have something to offer. And if I have a chance to help other people with that, then, I mean, it's just giving me a platform to help people.
Yeah, that's what I love about, like, because when I see what Leonardo DiCaprio does sometimes, like, his whole Instagram is just about, yeah, oh my God, Keanu Reeves. Whew.
You know what I mean?
Like, just saying his name, I get a chill. He's amazing. That's the kind of actor I want to be when I'm, like, 40, 50, whatever. He's such...
He's in his prime now, which is crazy.
But he's, the way he carries himself, the way he talks to people, the way he, if we can all be Keanu Reeves.
It's, but that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you get fame And then it's your choice what you do with that fame.
Yeah.
I mean, I want, when I get fame, I want to help people. That's what I want to do. I mean, I really could care less about how much money I make. I'd much rather prefer how many people I can help.
Yeah. Same here. I would love to be able to have the opportunity. Like, I love it when I see, like, these actors that become producers and they're hiring people to do things. I love it. Like, with Issa Rae, she came up with her YouTube show and announced the HBO. She brought, like, a lot of her people to where it's great to be able to help other people and to give them a spotlight. That's why I love doing this show, because I feel like I do so much that's just about me.
Yeah.
I want to do something where I get to put a spotlight on the people that I know.
Yes.
Because if you get something out of this, that would make me feel so good.
Like, but regardless, we already got something out of it because we were able to talk about it.
Yeah. But even better, in my mind, it's like everyone that comes on the show, I pray and I hope, like, I know you're doing your own thing and you have your own plans ahead of yourself. I hope that this somehow influences that and helps you even go further.
Yeah.
People hear you and says, who is Zach Zindler? Like, I need to look this up. That would be the best thing to happen coming out of this. I want to say thank you for being here.
Oh, this is my pleasure.
But we have the last 10 questions. These are a little easier, less introspective. But
I'm always introspective, so you can
give me the same stuff. I'll ask you, what's your favorite? Well, I like blue because there's certain hues that just affects me in a way that...
Yes. That's exactly how my brain works.
Oh, man. What's your favorite word?
Oh, my favorite word is authenticity.
Why?
Because that's the key to life.
What's your least favorite word?
Can't.
Why?
Because every time I was told I can't do something, I always thought I could. And my second least favorite word is normal.
Can't and normal.
Yeah, those are my two least favorite words.
What is your idea of misery?
My idea of misery would be being left without a legacy. I think so, yeah.
So what does ultimate happiness look like for you?
Ultimate happiness would be knowing I left a legacy. That would be the ultimate.
What turns you on creatively, emotionally, or spiritually?
New experiences. Anything new is just like you're experiencing it, obviously, for the first time. So you go in it with that same, excitement. So new avenues of anything.
What turns you off?
Negative energy. And I would probably have to say... ignorance.
What's your favorite curse word?
Ooh, my favorite curse word would be probably have to be fuck. That's my favorite one.
What's your favorite drug?
Favorite drug would probably have to be mushrooms.
Are you really going for drug?
Oh, you said drug.
I'm just messing with you.
You got me.
No, but why mushrooms?
I like cerebral experiences. And it's an organic substance. And anytime you can get a chance to go into the vault of your mind, you always leave with something more than what you came in with. And there's so many drugs, alcohol, so many other outlets that are negative to our bodies that are actual not non-organic substances that we have to filter through our body. It's something that I don't see. They use it for schizophrenic patients. They use it for PTSD patients. They use it for anxiety and depression patients. I mean, it's been used throughout history as for medicinal purposes. It's just something that I think allowing ourselves to release energy that we keep inside is, it's like freeing almost. You're allowing yourself to be you or more of you as opposed to trying to shelter it, confine all your emotions into something. Wow. Yeah.
I've never done mushrooms, but
yeah,
I think you might have sold me.
Right, right experience. Yeah, do it. The right place, right time, right people.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, with drugs, yeah, because it's a lot of bad drugs out there. That's just scary. If you were reincarnated as some other plant or animal, what would it be?
Silverback gorilla. I have a tattoo of a gorilla. So I love gorillas. That's it. I mean, premeditated. This is all premeditated.
All right, well, whew, thank you so much. For asking this last question, I just want to say thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure getting to know you more. We only got to meet each other just for a little and talk a little during the table read of Welcome Home by Jessica Brown. You never know. Maybe it'll come back alive soon in the future.
It brought this alive.
Yeah,
so
that's for sure.
This is just proof that the networking that you do on little projects can carry over onto other projects that might lead to bigger things.
Yep. And where can we follow you online?
On Instagram. My Instagram is Zach Zindler, ZACKZINDLER. And the same name is on my Facebook. And I also have a Twitter, same name. And you can also catch me on, I'm not on YouTube yet, but I will be soon.
Really?
So,
but you do have some, you have Vet TV
coming out, Combat Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
I have Go Long Blues. It's a fantasy film with Alfonso Walker coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I have A Million Dead Presidents, filmed by Moshe Israel, coming out. I also have a game show, Funny You Should Ask, will be coming out in September. I believe that's I also have a National Living Spaces commercial coming out 4th of July.
Oh,
so
look at you. All
right, huh? Just throwing those little, sprinkle of salt on it.
It's not too much.
I don't want to overwhelm everybody at first, Can't give them all the goodies at front,
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
get them wanting something more.
Yeah, you always.
Yeah.
Like, I don't tell people about my military past. That's like my ace in the hole.
Yeah, I didn't know that about you until
that's my ace in the hole.
Hmm.
Like, you see that, you're like, man, I thought this whole thing. And it's like what I'm saying. If I got typecast, you'd be like, okay, they do this. And then they come there and be like, oh, wow, that's way more than I expected.
Yeah.
It's the same with me. Like, I have my Marine Corps in the hole. So, like, if you want to come at me and you try and judge me and put me in a box, oh, by the way, I'm a veteran. Oh, whoa.
Oh.
Oh, whoa. Yeah. Like, you're not just a regular veteran. You're a United States Marine Corps veteran. Like, you're not just, like, some scum. Like, you're, like, legit, like, my bad, bro. I'll get out of your way. But I don't flaunt it. There's no need to.
There's no need to. I mean,
I have so much more to offer than just that. I really want you to, get to know me, get to know what type of person I am, what kind of energy I give off. Because a lot of people, when they hear something about you, they automatically formulate this opinion about you. Like, you get, categorized and, it's not who you are. Yeah. It's who they think you are.
Yeah. And it's BS.
Well, it's not fair. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, if I already tell you who you are before I meet you, then that's not fair to me, or that's not fair to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying you're not gonna be accepting to something before you even see it.
Yeah. We need to get beyond typecasting. If there's anything we've learned in television and film and theater now, is that people come in all colors, all shades, all different personalities, diverse. Diversity is real,
basically.
And anyone can have any story. Anyone can be a nerd. Anyone can be super promiscuous. Anyone can be rich. Anyone can be super poor. Anyone can be anything.
Yes.
Now, last question.
Yes. Shoot.
Again, thank you for being here. But if an afterlife exists, what would you like your God to say to you when you reach heaven?
See, I'm a non-religious kind of person, so I don't know what would happen after I die. The first thing I would want said to me, I guess, would be, welcome to your new life. That's what I would want to say. Welcome to your new life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Zach. Thank you for stopping by today.
I appreciate all of this. Thank you so much. This is great. Great setup, great vibe, great people, great topics, everything.
Thank you. So. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Actors Ponder Show. And until next time, my friends.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Actors Ponder Show. Please give us a follow at Actors Ponder on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And until next time, persevere and break a leg.